Of course, we went through the birthdays. You know, tomorrow's my birthday. We just weren't able. I got stuff going on this today, and we couldn't do the birthday thing today. But kind of a milestone, I guess, when you hit certain numbers. When I turned 60, I was real bummed out about it. None of the other birthdays didn't bother me. I mean, everybody used to say way back when we were young, "How stupid is this? Oh, I'm going to turn 30. Oh, big deal," right? You know, and then when I was turned 60, though, the thing that bothered me, I said, "Man, in 10 years, I'm going to be 70 years old." I don't know why that bothered me, but it just sounded old, you know. 10 years, I'm going to be 70 years old. Guess what? Less than a day. Sometime after midnight, I guess, whenever. I don't know what time I was born. But I'm going to be 70 years old. Man alive, I thought getting here was going to take longer. I don't know how I thought I was going to feel. I don't know how you think you're going to feel when you get there, but I feel like I did when I was 60. When I was 60, I felt like I did when I was 50. When I was 50, I felt like I did when I was 40. And so, hey, you know, what a blessing. It's just a number, I guess. We got eternal life. If we have eternal life, guess what? I'm going to live forever. And we've got that. So numbers won't matter at all at that point in time, right? But, you know, we look around and we're all getting older, right? Some of y'all been here a long time. I started pastoring. I didn't have a gray hair on my head. And some of you, I started pastoring, you had hair on your head. And things getting, you know, we get older, we start thinking, you know, you think differently when you get older about certain things. You look at life differently. You look at things differently. And I think sometimes we think this, we think, well, you know what? This is what pastors always say about church members. You know, this is what they say. You know, there's like three phases of church members that you try to get to serve God. There's the young crowd, and they say, "Well, I'm too young to serve God." And then when they get married and they have kids, they say, "Well, I'm too busy to serve God." Well, by the time the kids all graduate and, you know, and move out of the house and all those things, then they say, "Well, I'm too old to serve God." There's just never no time for anybody to serve God. We can't do anything because of all the what we think we can't do anything. But, you know, we may think too at a certain point, well, and I'd say, you know, if physical life being the way it is, when you're my age, you got more behind you than you got in front. And a lot of us in here do, you know, no guarantees, right? But we got more behind. But a lot of times we think, you know, our best years, what we're going to do, what we can do, even what we can do for God are behind us and not in front of us. You know, your mind just starts thinking like that. You start thinking, oh, man. And I think sometimes we cave into that number thing. We may be feeling fine, but we say, well, I'm this old and I should feel a certain way. And therefore, I can't do, you know, I shouldn't be able to do this, or I shouldn't do this because I'm a certain age. My wife always telling me I shouldn't get on a ladder, which I know they tell you that, but, you know, sometimes you got to get on. Don't do that, you know, don't do that. I said, crying out loud, I'm just seven, you know, I'm going to turn 70, but I'm not feeble, you know, I can still get around. I mean, I might have fallen off a ladder when I was, you know, 20 as well. I guess you can take it better when you're 20, right? But, you know, we may think that our accomplishments are behind us, but Joshua's got some encouraging words for us, and I'm kind of using this text. I got to go preach at Pastor Covington's church on Tuesday morning for the Premillennial Baptist Pastors Fellowship thing, and Mike Vest, he's in charge of it this year, and he asked me to come over there, so I kind of wanted to preach. I'm going to tweak it a little bit, what I tell you guys, but I want to use the text anyway to kind of encourage those guys. In chapter 14, verse 6, the Bible says, "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again, and it was in as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 80 and 5 years old, As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before with Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, your encouraging words, and help us all to be encouraged today. It's my prayer always, if someone here's lost, that they see their need of being saved. What a great day to be saved. Today is the day of salvation, Lord. And so it's not too late, as long as you haven't come back for us yet. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see in our text, the Israelites, you know, they had wandered around the wilderness for 40 years, and they had gone over now into the land of Canaan. They'd got over there, and it was time they were going to divide the inheritance up. They drew lots, or however they did, who was going to get what was first, and so it was time for that. Jacob was in charge. Moses now had died. Joshua was in charge, and he was over it. Joshua at this time was about 100 years old, and Caleb, we see in our text, was 85 years old. And so they, you know, both of them are older guys at this time. And you know, the land, there's something to look at there. You think about, well, when the Israelites got over the Jordan River and they had to go up against Jericho, and then they went up against Ai and got defeated, and then they had to defeat that. And now that they're going to divide the inheritance, in our mind we might think, well, all the enemies had been conquered in the land of Canaan. Well, this is why Canaan doesn't picture heaven. Canaan never pictures heaven. It pictures the place on this life, in this life and on this earth, that God is trying to get you to, more of a spiritual place than a geographic place. It's really a spiritual place. He's trying to get us to this place, Canaan, a spiritual Canaan in our mind, in our life, you know, where we're totally trusting God and dependent on Him. He's trying to get us all there. But you would, and the reason it doesn't picture heaven is because the land, there was still battles to be fought. The place that Caleb asked for still had the giants that they saw the first time they went in, and they still existed. There was still victories to be won, and they had to claim the possession that God had for them themselves. And so, you know, that's the same way it is. We've got promises from God's word, and he had a promise from God's word that he could claim the land and have that land. Moses told him, everywhere your foot trod and you were over there, that's going to be your inheritance. Because Caleb and Joshua came back and they said, hey, it's a land flows with milk and honey. They said, it's a good place. And they said, we can go over there and get it. But all the other spies, there was 12 of them, the other 10 said, ooh, man, it's a land flows with milk and honey, all right. But they said, there's a bunch of people over there. It looks like grasshoppers. There's so many of them. And they got giants. These people are big. The very place that Caleb said he wanted to get. There was giants in the land, man. And they said they didn't want to do it. And it made all the other people. You know what? Everybody's a bunch of chickens anyway, right? I mean, here it was. Here these two of them said, man, we're going to do it. God's with us. God's given it to us. We got a promise in the Word of God. Let's go get it. The other one said, oh, no, look, man, there's an obstacle. There's a circumstance. There's something going on over there, and we can't do anything about it. And, you know, we're just not going to win. They're too big for us. They're just too big. And so and they said, well, yeah, well, we don't want to. They heard that, and it said it made the hearts of the people melt. Huh? Everybody else got nervous, and they didn't go in. Well, you know what happened. They wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years, 40 more years, 38, kind of some other years went in there. And then some years passed before they came down to dividing the inheritance, because Caleb said it was 40 and 5, so he was 85 years old. So they had to wander around the wilderness and not go in and get the inheritance, all because of unbelief. And all the ones that were of age died off. All the ones that they died except for Caleb and Joshua. Caleb and Joshua were the oldest males living, the only ones that were old enough that came out of Egypt that remembered that knew what went on. So here it was, man, but here this land, it was still inhabited by the other nations, still possessed It had to be possessed by Israel, even though it's the promised land. And we got promises in here in the Word of God, but you got to grab them, man. You got to take that promise and say, man, I'm leaning on that promise. I was sitting there thinking about that verse. I've been really hung up on that, where God said, if we ask His, how much more would He give us the Holy Spirit? If the other parents would give their children good things, how much more would He give us? And I said, man, everything felt dead in here to me. Everything felt kind of flat. I told Daryl, I said, man, for Pete's sake, play a little bit of music while everybody was filing in, because it just felt like a deadness. I said, God, we need You, man. I'm going to pray. I'm going to claim the promise. I'm going to say, God, You got a promise in Your Word that says that You would fill us if we would ask. You would not deny us that. And so I asked God. I feel a whole lot better right now. I was reading in my Bible the other day where I think it was Elisha. I'm going to double check it. I'll give it to you as Elisha. But they wanted him to prophesy about something concerning. He wasn't in the mood, man. So he said, hey, bring a minstrel. Send a minstrel in. And I never noticed this before. I'd read it several times. It said, bring a minstrel in. Let him play before Me. And the minstrel came and played. And he said that the Spirit of the Lord came on him. See, sometimes that music can even set the tone. If you ever wondered why we're singing, that's what it is. We get the tone set, right? But anyway, back to that, I prayed. I claimed the promise. It was a promise from God. I claim it, man. And God will fill me with His Spirit. And I pray that He'll fill this place and all the believers with His Spirit. He'll fill we feel the presence of God here. And that cures it, right? That God's got a promise. So we've got them in the Word of God. We still got to claim them, though. We got to possess them. And that's the picture that we see with these people going over into the land of their inheritance. Well, when it was time to divide, Caleb comes up, and Joshua was the leader, and Caleb's there, and Joshua knew. He knew what the promise was that Caleb had, but Caleb came up to him, and he said, man, I want to come up and claim my inheritance. He said, you want to give it to you? And boy, Caleb starts talking about what happened. He's going back over. Now, Joshua knows because he was there. He just reminded him of all those things, man. He said, listen, man, he reviewed what happened when 45 years earlier this had gone by. And Joshua knew it. And he said, thou knowest the thing the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee, me and you. You remember that. And he said, in verse 7, he rehears it, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea, which him too, to espy out the land, and brought him word again, and it was in my heart as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly follow the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trod shall be thine inheritance for thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord thy God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as He said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. I'm a strong man. He goes over all that. He said, now, therefore, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. It was that mountain. And he said, for they heard us in that day how the Anakims were there. They were the giants. This is the very land that he wants. He didn't pick the easy route. He said, this is the land that I want to have. And man, I mean, he knew that God was bigger than any problem that they had, bigger than any giants, bigger than any fortified cities. And he banked on the promise in verse 9, what God had told him, what Moses had told him. Man, that's a long time to wait for a promise, isn't it? Huh? 45 years. He waited for that promise of God to come true. You got to have some faith. Huh? You know how we are, man. We're impatient as it can be. Huh? Man, 45. Well, you know, God promised me this, and I keep waiting, and the years keep going by, and things don't seem like they're getting better. Doesn't seem like I'm ever going to get the land. You know, how long, you know, some people say, well, they lived a lot longer than me. It's not much. Joshua was 100. I think he died at 110, and that's not unusual. I buried a lady that was 106, almost 107. He was 110. Caleb was 85. We don't know how long he lived, but they weren't living 600-700 years at this point in time. They were living, you know, they were going. Moses was 120. And so they weren't what, you know, hadn't quite got down to what it is now, but they weren't living all that long. He's 85 years old thinking, how much time have I got left? I'm supposed to get an inheritance. But I guess he could have looked at it that way, or he could have said, you know what? I know I ain't going to die anytime soon because I haven't got an inheritance God already promised me I'm going to have, so he's not going to kill me, right? He's going to let me live. He said, the Lord hath kept me alive. Oh, I got news for you. The Lord's keeping you alive. Huh? You think you're keeping you alive. No, the Lord is keeping you alive. He said, the Lord kept me alive these years. He hadn't forgot. He hadn't forgot. But I mean, you know, human nature being 45 years is a long time to wait for the promise of God. And so, you know, he banked on that. He waited a long time. And so we can learn some things. I think I got 3 points for you. I want you to learn about this from this today. The very first thing was we have vision. We had vision. You know, when we were young people, I don't know all of you, and some of y'all here are younger. We got young married couples and young people in here. You know, you had plans and visions for things before you got married. When we were young kids, we had these, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this. And then as time goes by, you know, check that one off the bucket list. Check that one off, you know. And some of them we accomplished them. You know, we did what we said and we got the bucket thing. Some of them we said, yeah, that ain't going to get done. That ain't going to get done. And then sometimes, too, you know what? Your mind changes when you get older. Sometimes I used to think, man, I want to jump out of a plane with a parachute. I didn't change my mind about that. I would ride in a hot air balloon. I would like to ride in a hot air balloon. But I'm thinking, man, there's no sense in jumping out of a perfectly good airplane as long as it's still flying. You know what I mean? I don't want to bounce like I don't see how far I'm going to bounce off the ground when I hit. Nah, I think I'd change. My buddy, my boy I grew up with that was a preacher there. He was pastoring for a while. He did it. He said it was the hardest thing he ever did in his life, jump out the door of that airplane. And that when you jump out the first time, they don't let you pull the thing. It pulls it out when you go out the door. They figure you'll have a heart attack before you, when you go out. The parachute at least will open before you get there. You won't freeze up. Trust me, I'm not going to freeze up and not pull the cord. I may pull it too soon. But anyway, they do that. But I don't want to do that. So we got our bucket list. We get rid of that. And, you know, and other things come along. And so years go by. And like I say, maybe we accomplish some things. But what happens is our vision narrows down. Our vision dim just a little bit. I like when it talks about Moses' life. You know how old Moses said, you know what he said? His eyes wasn't dim. His eyes never dimmed. He still got, he saw the promised land. God didn't let him lead the people in, but he got to see it. His eye, he said, my eye hadn't dimmed any. God did that. But our vision in a spiritual sense or in a goal sense, it dims down some. They may become smaller. You know, the older you get, you know, your big goal of the day, first thing in the morning is, I hope I can get my foot through the leg hole in my underwear without falling into the chest of drawers. You know, that's goal number one, right? So like I said, the older you get, everything kind of narrows down. There's little victories, you know, there's little victories. And some of you here, your goal is, I hope I can stay asleep before he gets done preaching. I hope I'm stay awake. Maybe some of you are hoping you can stay asleep. Hope I don't fall asleep before he gets done. Gets done preaching, you know. The goals just kind of narrowed down. But Caleb, like I said, he had more years behind him than ahead. But what I like was he still had a vision for the things of God. It didn't matter about the age, man. He said, I still want to accomplish what God wants me to accomplish. And this is a key thing. His vision and God's vision were exactly the same. God wanted him to go in and he wanted them to possess the land. And he gave him a promise, and he wanted it, and Caleb wanted it. I'm going to tell you what, when your vision gets to be the same vision as God's, when you want the same thing God wants, it will be accomplished. It will happen. And so we get our vision and get our goals in the right order of things. Sometimes we're out of order with things. And so God said, listen, God would keep him alive. And he had been thinking about this day for 45 years, and listen, if God keeps us alive, and all of us are alive here, right? If you're not alive, raise your hand. You know, if God keeps us alive. God's got a vision. We should have the vision that God has to accomplish what God would have for us as well. Amen? So he had vision. The second thing was he had vigor. In verse 10 and 11, I read a little bit. He goes, I am this day 85 years old at the end. He goes, yet I'm as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. So in other words, I'm as strong as I was 45 years ago. He said, even so, by my strength now for war, he said, I can go to war. I can come in, come out. That's one 85-year-old. I don't know if I want to mess with that guy. He said, now therefore give me this mountain. Now listen, we understand that everybody doesn't have good health, especially here. Our sick list, sometimes it's going to be easier just to say, hey, you know, here's the people you don't have to pray for. Pray for everybody else, because it's going to be shorter than the one with the sick people on it. But everybody doesn't have that, you know, and I thank God for my health every day. I don't take it for granted. If you got good health, you ought to thank it. It doesn't matter how bad, you know, if your health isn't good, there's somebody worse than you. I was a chaplain at the Bryan Center for years and went in there. You're on a anybody in the Bryan Center is on a ventilator bed. Got a thing in their throat right here breathing, and most of them are on feeding because of that. They're on a feeding bag, which that's no fun either. And boy, you look at that and boy, you just thank God, you know. But the other side of the coin is this, like I said earlier, sometimes people let an age, they get to an age that they think, no matter how good they feel, they say, well, I'm just too old to do that. I'll never forget, man, years ago, Mike Gore, you remember this right here. Remember, we had Helen Anderson used to come here. She had a friend. Her name was Mrs. Agner. How old was she, Mike? You remember? Late 80 years, late 80 old. Yeah, she's getting up there towards 90 years old, and she said, I never rode on a motorcycle. And Mike said, will you come on down here tonight? I said, I'll get you on there. And, you know, we went out there and watched, and boy, pulled up, man. She put a helmet on, had some pants. She got on there. Down the road they went on a Harley, man. Drive her back up the road. Hey, man, that's great. If you get to be 80, 90 years old and you never rode on a motorcycle and you want to ride on one, we'll hook you up. We'll find somebody that'll ride you down there. Hey, do it. Why say, well, I'm too old to go on a motorcycle? I mean, you know, I mean, whatever you want to do. I think that, you know, we got to have a vision for things. We got to think, not take age and say, well, listen, here's a line I'm drawing and I can't do certain things. Sometimes I think that's just an excuse for laziness, which we are prone, as humans, human nature, sometimes to be lazy. But he said God had kept him alive. And if God keeps us alive, I think God's keeping us alive for a reason, right? God's keeping us alive to use us somehow. What does he want to just fill up that pew, that seat in the church and take up space? And I think God wants us to do more than that. Caleb said he was strong as he was 45 years ago. He was ready to go to war and was going to go to war for that. He said, but look at what he said. The key verse there is verse 12. He said, if so be, the Lord will be with me. If so be, listen, if God wants you to do it, the Lord is with us. And if you got the vision that he's got, the same vision that he's got, he will be with you. And guess what? You're going to get done whatever it is. Because I'm going to tell you, there was a lot of things. 45 years ago, the Israelites were outnumbered by the inhabitants of Canaan. That hadn't changed. Now Caleb's ready to go in. Guess what? They were still outnumbered by the inhabitants of Canaan, and there were still giants in the land. They weren't going to win it in their own strength 45 years ago, and they weren't going to win it in their own strength now. It's all if God be with me. See, we're going to get it done. We can get it done because, God, look at the flip side of this. There was old Goliath and there was David. They figured David might have been about 14 years old. That's what a lot of commentators think. And he went up a guy and he wasn't a man of war, never been trained in war. He was a shepherd. But here was Goliath, had been a man of war all his life, and he was a giant. And what did he do? He took an old sling with some rocks in it. Huh? Old Goliath was bringing a knife to a gunfight. Huh? Goliath brought a sword and he had a sling, man. Shot that rock out there and got him in the head. So, isn't he said, if the Lord's with us, God gave the victory and age isn't a barrier. Like I said, Joshua's 100, Caleb's 85. God could not even use Moses spiritually, I mean, because of his spiritual condition, God couldn't use him until he was 80 years old before God even said, okay, Moses, you're ready. I got 10 more years before God can do anything with me. Huh? I'm just thinking about it. He was 80 years old when he finally said, okay, Moses, come here. He called him at the burning bush. I want you to lead my people out of Egypt and lead them to the promised land. He brought them out of there and he led them through the wilderness. It was about 38 years is what, but some other years in between there. Let's just say 40 years. Led them 40 years, starting at 80 years old, walking through the wilderness, huh? Walking through the wilderness all that time, trudging along, dealing with all them headaches at 80 years old. Huh? He didn't put a number on it. God said, now it took him 40 years in Pharaoh's court and 40 years on the backside of the desert watching sheep, to get him at a point where he would depend on God with all his Moses wouldn't depend on God until he got to that point. And he had to depend on God. Man, 80 years old before he used him. Hey, man, there's hope for Saul. There's hope for Saul. Abraham and Sarah. Abraham was 100 years old when he became a daddy. I'm kind of hoping that isn't in the plans. You know, Sarah was 90, I think, years old when she had. I'm hoping that's not the plan. That's not God's vision for this dude right here. I'm hoping that's not it. But that was it. God had a plan, right? Old Hazel Hager, I mentioned her last week. Jamie knew her because she's the oldest lady his funeral I ever did. She was almost 107, 106 years old. Her mind was sharp, but she was down there at Carrington. Jamie was working there then, and Hazel said, you know what? She said, and her mind was really good, and her body was pretty good, but she did, you know, had to ease around, not have any falls. But she said, you know, God's kept me down here, and he said, as long as I'm alive, she said, I'm going to witness to these nurses, them young girls and stuff, and I talk to everybody about the Lord. I talk to them a little bit about the Lord. Man, you ain't gonna badmouth a 106-year-old lady. She could probably talk to people that you and I couldn't talk to, because nobody's gonna. But she said, I'm gonna talk to him. Said, God's got me down here for a purpose. God's got me down here for a reason. Man, what a testimony that was. I remember that. I remember talking to her about that. There it is. And then the third thing is we see the victory. You know, most people Caleb's age are looking for a quiet, relaxing place to spend their last days, however long they are. But not Caleb, man. He said, listen, I want to go in and get my inheritance. The same piece of land where the Anakims were before, where the giants were, he didn't say, well, I changed my mind. I'd like to go get, and it was a mountain. It was Hebron, a mountainous land. He didn't say, well, I think I'll just go down in the plain where it's flatter, easier to walk around, and there's not as many, you know, the giants don't live there. No, he said, I want the same place. I want to go in. That's where I'm going. I'm ready to go in. Because God's going to give the victory. The giants aren't a hindrance to God. He knew that. See, we always depend on God, like, circumstantially, you know, well, like this problem God could probably take care of, but boy, I got this crisis in my life that's this big, and God probably can't deal with that. I don't know how God can fix it. We would say we wouldn't doubt God, but we act as if we do. You know, that's what I say. We think God can't handle it because it's a big problem. He said, I'm going in there now. And, you know, the same place, and the mountain, Hebron. Nothing, and here's another thing. Nothing about what God promised Caleb. And see, that's the reason he said he couldn't say, I want to go to the plain and I want to go where there ain't no giants. Because that isn't what God promised him 40 years ago, 45 years ago. Nothing about what God promised him was easy. Huh? No easy button. See, nothing that he promised him was easy. Because see, that's what we all want to do. Well, preacher, if nothing comes up, I'll be able to help out. If it's not too hard, I'll do it. I don't want to teach a Sunday school class because it's hard. I don't want to have to stand up and talk because it's hard. Listen, what God chooses for us, it doesn't matter if it's hard because it's God that's doing it through us, not us, see? And that's what we got to get that in our mind, huh? If Caleb can go after a mountain and giants at 85, for Pete's sake, there's nothing too great that we can't do. We all want to do the easy thing, huh? Vacation Bible school, I'll get snacks. Boy, that's a tough one spiritually right there. It's tough to stay out of the snack bag is what the problem is. That's why I don't get the snacks, right? But we don't want to. Hey, we don't want to say, hey, I'm going to go down there and talk to the kids about the Lord. I want to study something up, and I'm going to talk to them about God. Why? Well, because it takes an effort, and you might make a mistake. And, hey, you might make a mistake with the snacks, too. But, you know, nobody's complaining about that. Cheryl asked me what kind of dessert I liked. I said, there ain't a dessert I don't like. Solved a problem, right? All of them, you know. And so this is it. So nothing about it was easy. And we all face some kind of giants in life, whether it's God's direction or not, because a lot of times we're not on God's path anyhow. We're scared off a little bit and got off in the weeds somewhere. But we all have giants and mountains of some kind, obstacles, circumstances in life, rough roads. Katie and David with Brindley, little old Brindley. She was over. We were all up here singing, and I looked. She was bouncing up in a chair, and she looked. She turned her head like this, and she went. She's looking at me. She, huh? Huh? What a blessing, man. A month ago, man, we were all like, oh, man, this giant, this problem, it's cancer. You know what? Cancer scares everybody. It's a tumor, man. What are we going to do? But you know what? Y'all just went, you had a giant, a mountain, huh? God got you over the mountain. God's got you through the thing, man. I mean, God's the one that, you know, we just give him all the glory for that, to see her running around. I was chasing them all around out there, and everybody's, Daryl said, hey, you can't run. I said, I can run. Let me show you, man. I'm just as strong now as I was when I was 40 years old, man. I can run. Huh? What a blessing that is. But they went, you know, you got that facing you as a mom and dad with a little girl like that. Huh? There's a mountain, there's an obstacle, but buddy, you put it in God's hands. Huh? You put it in God. It's not too big for God. Maybe God's using something like that to show us that, hey, listen, I'm in control of this thing here. There's no mountain too big. Age, either way, no obstacle too big. He's the God of the circumstances, man. We've all had rough patches in our life. We've all had rough roads. Huh? We can't sit around and talk about it all day. That's the only bad thing about having testimonies like that. We get to focusing on the problem instead of focusing on God. And we don't want to talk, we don't want to magnify the problem. We want to magnify God. He's the one that's the big one, right? So he had all those years, man. Caleb had to wander for 40 years in the wilderness with them people, and he was the one that wanted to go in to start with, but he had to deal with it. Joshua did the same way. And I'll tell you what, there was some weary years. There were some wilderness years, huh? There's wilderness years spiritually for, I'm going to use this with the preachers, man. Sometimes as a pastor, man, there's some wilderness years, you know, with things. There's weary years. There's discouraging days. There's defeated days. You know, everybody faces that in life. Circumstances that look insurmountable. But Caleb said this, if so be that the Lord be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. He said, if the Lord's with me. And guess what? He received his inheritance. And in chapter 15, it talks about this, and I didn't read that far down in there, but it did say it. I was reading when I was reading here in verse 9, and Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance. And look at this next sentence, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord thy God. His children's. He had a daughter. And when they were fighting in the land that he had, when they were fighting the cities, he said, listen, any man that takes this one city, I'll give my daughter to him for wife. And one, his nephew took him up on it. And Othniel is his name. And he took him up and he went and defeated it. And when he got to be married to her, she went to her daddy and she said, Dad, I want this, the south land. For inheritance, I want you to give me the south land, Caleb. So I'm going to give you the south land. I'm going to give you the upper springs and the nether springs, which means the lower spring. I'm going to give you that for an inheritance. That was going to his. So what he was fighting for was not only in his inheritance, but the inheritance for his children. And this is what I want you to see, though. This is more important than anything else. He got the land, and it wasn't only for him and his children. He had a vision. He had vigor. He got the victory. But that land, the greatest inheritance that we leave our children is spiritual things, not material things. What did she see her whole life? She saw a dad that had faith in God Almighty. I mean, real faith. He wasn't just yapping it up. You know, he just wasn't talking it one way and living another way at home. She saw a dad that had faith in God. And that made an impact on her life, and he got that inheritance. She came and asked him for it. And I mean, I tell you what, boy, there isn't nothing we can, the greatest thing that we can leave our children has to deal with our faith in God, how we view God, how we trust God, what we believe about God. That'll make more of an impact on your children's life, because we don't know what our children will go through in life down the road. We don't know if they're going to be wealthy, have this and that. We all like to provide for our children. But those things can be gone in a minute. Yeah, economic collapse, whatever. But if we have our faith in God, if we have that, listen, I mean, we've left our children something that's eternal. It's the only eternal thing that we will leave them is our faith in God, and they see that. And so that's, you know, that is such an important thing to think about. So, you know, a few things, the lessons that we can see, you know, don't be a borderline Christian, but get on into the promised land, that spiritual place that God wants you to be. And we already have our spiritual inheritance in Christ. Every spiritual blessing, we already have it. It's right here in the Word of God. We're never too old to make a new conquest of faith and power in the Lord. You never retire. A Christian, you never retire from trusting and serving the Lord. You just never do. You're going to serve God in some capacity. You should, and trust Him in some capacity. And then we're leaving an inheritance for the next generation, and that's the most important thing that we could leave our children. So we see Caleb. He said, if so be, the Lord will be with me. And the Bible tells us that he wholly followed the Lord all his life. His family saw that. He believed God. He acted on his belief and left that example for his children. There's nothing greater, as I said, than we could leave our children for that. So don't think you're too old or that you're unable. You know, technically, if we want to look at it this way, we are unable, but God is able. And so God uses the unable because they're the ones that will put their faith and trust in Him. Let's all stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. I pray that you speak to hearts here this morning. There's somebody here that needs to put their trust and faith in you. Pray that they'd come and be saved. We pray, Lord, that all of us would just reevaluate, rethink, Lord, and look at things differently as we're looking through your eyes, Lord, that your vision. Help us have your vision for our life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
All right, let's sing our invitational hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul."